Good morning. Oh, how's everyone doing this morning? Good. Man, there's actually a few more people here than I anticipated. I'm so glad you guys braved the storm. If you're online, we're so glad you're watching from the comfort of your home. You're probably right next to a fireplace, just sipping some coffee, and I'm a little jealous of that. But hi, if you don't know me, my name is BJ. My wife and I, she's right here on the front row, Megan, we just moved right at one year ago to Roseburg. We were on staff here at Bethel as the youth pastors, and then have for the past year been serving an online ministry, and that's coming to an end this week as we really start to turn our focus towards what God has placed us in Roseburg for. And that's, we are planting an Assemblies of God church in Roseburg. We're so excited for that. Roseburg has been without an Assemblies of God church for several years, and we have been asked to move up there. At first, we were like, no, but then God said, yes, and we're actually absolutely loving it. We are excited. We are set for a September launch, September 2022 launch of River City Church, where Megan and I will be co-pastoring, and we are so excited. God's just bringing so many people alongside us, and we have an awesome community. And what we so much love is that God is bringing us there not to just be another church on the corner, but partner with what he's already doing in Roseburg, which is amazing things. There's such a great community of churches and pastors up there who are not about, hey, don't come to my church, but it's like, hey, what can we do together to further the kingdom of God? And that's our heart, and so we're so excited to partner in that way. So, yes, we're excited. One thing for you guys to just really, if you're online too, please be praying about and anticipating is coming up in April. We do a monthly night of prayer and worship, and you're going to be hearing more about this from Pastor Tim as the time comes, but coming up in April, we are actually inviting our Bethel family. If you don't know this, you are our sending church. You are our sending family, and we're going to be, you're always invited to come, but that night specifically, we're going to be inviting everyone from Bethel to come up and just be with us during our night of prayer and worship. It's only an hour and a half, guys, and it's after the snow. So you have no excuse. Three months in advance, you have no excuse. But we really would love to have everyone there just to pray over our city and to really dive into what God has in store for Roseburg and for River City Church. God's providing so many blessings already. Well, this morning I actually have the privilege to bring the message, and we're going to be closing out a series we've been in. Right behind me is a nice, beautiful manger. I love this manger, but it's full of hay. And this morning we're actually finishing the series, The Messy Manger. And before we go any further, I want to read what we've been celebrating for the entire month of December and kind of close this time out, refocusing here. I don't have scriptures that are going to be popping up on the screen for you. So if you do have your phone or your Bible, I said phone first. I am a millennial. If you have any kind of Bible device, paper or electronic, we're going to start here in Luke chapter 2, and then we'll be moving through, and I'm going to give you a little roadmap here in just a second, but I want to read this starting in verse 1 to you. It says, "In those days a decree went out from Emperor Augustus." Some of your versions might say Caesar Augustus. It's the same person, Emperor Augustus, "that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him, for them in the inn. Just going to pray for a second, and then we're going to move forward. God, we thank you so much for who you are. Jesus, we thank you for the season that we have celebrated. And God, we just pray that the celebration would continue, even this morning in our hearts. God, that this wouldn't be just the wrapping up of a season, God, but it would continue through this next year. God, that we would go into the new year anticipating great things because of who you are, not because of what we have accomplished or who we are, God, but because of who you are and who you've called us to be. So God, we just take another moment here this morning to remember who you are and who you have created us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so the manger story. Oftentimes for me, when we come to Christmas time, my memory or what takes place during December is the peace of mind that tends to settle in that, hey, it's the season. It's a season to celebrate. Jesus has come to the world. Picture the beautiful baby laying in the manger. My thought process doesn't quite connect with the story because the manger is not a beautiful thing. But for me, I'm thinking of this beautiful, peaceful scene of this barn with a clear, dark blue, starry night, but snow falling, which doesn't match either. I have some crazy pictures in my head, but it's this idea of peace that has come. And but this morning I want to talk about origin stories. Every movie, every story, every book that we read tends to have some sort of introduction, origin to it, especially if you think of superhero movies or anything like that. But every movie either begins with an introduction that it continues to unfold throughout the movie, or sometimes, and these are my favorite, sometimes the result plays up front, and then you get that crazy, that awesome words that come up on a black screen and it says 30 years prior or something like that. You know what I'm talking about? Hello? Oh, okay. You guys are here. Online, yell out because I can't hear anything here. Okay, they're here. Anyways, you get that line that says 30 years before, and then the rest of the movie is the origin story or the introduction unfolding before your eyes. Well, in superhero movies, there are actual movies dedicated to this origin story, the origin story of whether it be Spider-Man, Batman, or even The Great and Powerful Oz. Has anyone seen that movie? No? Yes? Or there's a new one out. There's a new one out that I personally love called Cruella. If you have not seen Cruella, it is intense, but it's an awesome story of the development of the character of Cruella de Vil in 101 Dalmatians. And it has some evil to it, but it is a great movie put together. Anyways, but when it comes to this Christmas story, there's an origin story. When it comes to the story of Jesus in the manger, there is an origin story. And it doesn't begin at the manger. Jesus did not begin at the manger. I'm hoping you hear that this morning, that Jesus did not begin at the manger. God's overwhelming love and peace that settled into our world did not begin at the manger. And this morning, we're talking about the messy manger. We're finishing up this series, The Messy Manger, because the truth is that Jesus' coming was not this big, peaceful event. It ushered peace into the world. He is the Prince of Peace, but Jesus' coming was not this big, peaceful event because the origin story was not the manger. And so this morning, that's what we are going to dive into. John, the apostle, actually says this In the very beginning of his gospel, my favorite gospel, because he is very detailed about Jesus' ministry, and it's obvious Jesus calls John the one he loves. And John calls himself that, really. But John says that Jesus calls him the one he loves, all right? But there's this obvious, John is very close to Jesus. And in the very beginning, I want you to catch this. I'm gonna read from John 1:1 here. And many of you probably are very familiar with this, but if you're not, I want you to catch what John says. He says, in the beginning. Now, as soon as I read that, I'm not even going very far. As soon as I said, as we read that, what do you think of? In the beginning, if we continue that, God created the heavens and the earth, right? In the beginning, like you just open your Bible up and that's where you're at. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then John is saying this right here, in the beginning. He's doing something with this, but then he goes on and he says, was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. Here's what many of us don't understand. In just these few scriptures, John has captured the attention of the entire Greco-Roman world of who his audience was. And we need to capture what he is saying here, because that word, John is Jewish, but he uses a Greek word in the New Testament. That word that he uses here is the Greek word logos. And what that word means, the Greek word logos was the foundational principle of Greek philosophy. So that one word logos, the foundational principle of Greek philosophy, it means the principal foundation by which everything existed. Logos, the foundational principle by which everything existed. So when John says in the beginning, hey Jews, I've got you, was the Word. Greeks, Romans, I've got you. There is something here, there's something about this manger baby. There's something about him that it's not just for us Jews. It's for everyone here. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning, this manger boy did not just come for a select few people, but he came for the entire world. So before we go any further this morning, I want to kind of give you just a little bit of a roadmap of where I'm going to go really fast. All right. How many of you guys enjoy history? Awesome. Awesome. I do too. If you don't worry. I'm going to try to make it interesting. All right. But we're going to go through a little bit of history of this origin story, the messy manger. The title of my message, if you're taking notes, which if you are, good for you. I tell people I've got it right here. 2 hours later, I have no idea what you just said. My wife is shaking her head. I hate taking notes, but it is good for me. But the title of my message this morning is God in Pursuit. And it's on the screen behind me, the messy manger, God in Pursuit. And this morning I feel like I'm talking to three different people groups, but I think we all are involved or we all participate in one of these three groups. For one, and if you don't, I'm sorry I missed you, but I think this morning is for you. I really, truly believe that God has a message for you this morning in this. So if you're like, no, none of those match me, I'm sorry, but I know for a fact that for me, I fall into one of these groups. And so I'm preaching to the choir, but person number one, you're here this morning, or maybe you're watching online, and tuning in or being here at church is a rare occasion for you. If you came and weathered the storm and you are here this morning and it's a rare occasion for you, I applaud you, because God has something extra for you, I believe, this morning. But maybe this is a rare occasion for you, and you just kind of decided, hey, it's the day after Christmas. I should go to church this morning. I should do something Christmas related. Or maybe you were here visiting family and you just kind of, that's what the family was doing, so you're here. Or maybe that's you're online and this is a moment you guys are taking as a family. I believe God's got something for you. And potentially, you even have this thought process of I'm not a very religious person. This isn't for me. And you have this mindset that what God seems to be is this cruel dictator that just is distant from humanity, and all he wants is to control my life, and I'm just not into that. If that's you this morning, whether you're online or in this place, I just want to say lean into what God has for you this morning. But if you're person number two, maybe you have been coming to church for a while, or you've been involved in a relationship with Jesus for a while, however long that's been, but right now is just a very difficult season. Maybe it's the season we're in that's difficult, or life is just very difficult for you, and you're having a hard time pursuing Jesus. You're having a hard time with that relationship. This morning is for you. The word that God has this morning is for you. Or maybe you're person number three, and you're like, hey, I am on fire for Jesus. My life has been flipped, turned upside down. I've been pursuing him. I grew up in a Christian home. Or you've just, from the very get-go, you've been on fire for Jesus, and you're just pursuing a deep relationship with him. Maybe you're even at a point where you're like, I've been doing this a long time and I'm coasting. I feel like God's just done so much in my life and he doesn't even have to do anymore. I've had a great life. This morning is for you. In John 3, chapter 3, we know this scripture from a lot of, from 3:16, from God so loved the world. But I want to read this. Because what's taking place, the context behind what is happening here is Jesus is having a conversation. This guy named Nicodemus, he's a religious leader, of the Pharisees, all right? The most learned of the learned people in religious history. And they know their scriptures inside and out. They are dedicated. They work to be perfect. And Nicodemus is the leader. And as the leader, the thing about the Pharisees was Jesus wasn't very popular with the Pharisees. Well, actually, he was popular, but not very favorable. Like, they did not like him. Because what happened was he came and started tearing down everything they had built. He came into the world and was like, and started tearing down the religious antics that they had built. And so as Nicodemus was seeing Jesus do these things, there were things that were unexplainable that Jesus had done, and he wanted to meet Jesus. He's like, there's something about you. Yes, you are a teacher. You're a great teacher. You're a prophet, obviously. You're healing people. We've seen some of these things before, but there's something about you that is different, and I want to know what it is. So he arranges, because he's afraid of the backlash, he arranges to meet with Jesus at night. He didn't want the backlash of the other leaders and the other Pharisees, so he arranged to meet with Jesus at night because he had some questions. And what takes place is he asks Jesus, what do I have to do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus, I'm sorry, I'm mixing that up, but he's asking Jesus about his kingdom, and Jesus says this. He says, if you want to be in my kingdom, you must be born again. And it confused Nicodemus. It confused him. He's like, How am I supposed to be born again? How do I go back into my mother's womb and come out a second time? Like, what do you mean? And I love Jesus's response, because it's one of those moments where Jesus is a little bit snarky, but he's proving a point. And so in verse 9 of John chapter 3, Nicodemus says to him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered with this. He says, are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Are you a teacher of Israel, yet you don't understand these things? You claim to know God. You claim to know God, and you're teaching God, but as I'm telling you, you must be born again. You're not catching the spiritual principle here. You don't understand these things. And he goes on to say, he says, very, very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and we testify to that we've seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe me if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who has descended from heaven, the Son of Man. So right there, John's already showing us like how Jesus didn't begin at the manger, because he descended from heaven to come and live among us. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world. I'm going to read that again. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world through him might be saved. This is what Jesus came for. He didn't come to condemn the Pharisees, but to show the real way to the Father. Are you the teacher and you don't understand these spiritual principles? That's a scary place to be in. Can I just tell you? Like, to be in a place like this on a platform, or to be sharing the word of God, if that's the word that I'm most scared of in what God has called me to do, that's the thing that I'm most scared of is, hey, what are you teaching my people? Is it coming from my word, or is it coming from something you have learned over time? And this morning, if you're that person number three that I described, or any person in that list that I described, what I want to say is, we are in a place this morning, as I look back over the last few years, or the last couple of years, one of the things that has become the most clear to me among the church, and I'm not talking about Bethel Church specifically, I'm talking about the church, the body of Christ, the people who make up God's people. The thing that has been made the most clear is that we have some things to unlearn and a lot of things to relearn. Because when we look at scripture and we look at how we've acted over the last couple of years, I'm embarrassed at times with the way that my words have been spoken, with the way that my actions have been, because it does not match with what God's word tells me is truth. And I'm not trying to heap guilt. I'm saying this morning, let's make a commitment right here to each other. If you're online, let's make a commitment that, God, if there's anything that I need to unlearn about who you are and about who I am, take it away, strip me of that, and teach me your truth. That's what we want to do this morning. That's what we should be committed to as a people of God. And so, here's the origin story goes like this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, right? He created, and it got messy quick. Right? For those of you who are in this place or listening online that know much of your Bible history, things got messy very quick after the creation story, because what happened was the God who created the earth was abandoned like that. All that had to happen was Adam and Eve hear something different. Decide, I want to try this. It leads to this covenant later on down the road, this covenant between God and this man named Abram. He turns his name to Abraham, and he says to this 80-year-old man, this man who should not have children, and his wife who should not have children based on where they're at in life, and she had been barren her entire life. He says, you are going to have a son, and I'm going to make a nation out of you. And he makes this covenant between himself and Abraham and says, I'm going to make you a great people. And the narrative follows from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob. And then we land with Joseph in Egypt, in the land of Egypt, where God has provided a place of escape from a famine for the Israelites. It was this great opportunity. But what happens is Joseph dies. And now the Israelites become a great nation in a place that is not their own. And they're oppressed. And what has taken place is in Egypt, much like in the Greco-Roman world that Jesus came into, Egypt is this place of paganism, of pagan worship. And what that means is that they had a plethora of gods. They had a plethora of little g gods, we call them. And so what they would do is they would go and they would do different acts of worship, some that were absolutely unspeakable, but some that were included sacrifice, animal sacrifice, and these things to not to worship, but to appease the gods of the land, because what was believed is that these gods were wreaking havoc on the land, and if we could just make them happy, we can live in peace. And so the Egyptians were in this. They had heard stories of their God, of things that had been passed down. But what happens is things get so bad and they're so oppressed, God looks at them with compassion and he raises up a man named Moses that leads them out. And what takes place, many of you guys know the story of the Ten Commandments, but God builds this covenant with the land of Israel, with the people of Israel. He builds a covenant. And Exodus chapter 34. I'm going to read a little bit, but what has happened is Moses had come down off the mountain from the Ten Commandments. God given him the Ten Commandments. He comes down and the people are worshiping the gods of the land. They've made these gods. And one of the things I want to point out in Exodus chapter 20, this is where the original Ten Commandments came from, but in verse 3, God tells Moses, "You shall have no other gods before me." What's interesting that we tend to miss in this, he doesn't say that there are no other gods. I just made all people who have grown up in the church in here very uncomfortable. But because God doesn't say there are no other gods. He said, you should have no other gods before me. There's a book that I'd love to just promo. I don't have it with me, but there's a book that if that rubs you the wrong way of God not saying there are no other gods, there's this book called God Has a Name by John Mark Comer. I would highly recommend that you read it because it's so, so fascinating and explaining of things. But many scholars believe that what would actually happen is they would create these gods, the Egyptians, the pagan worshipers, they would create these gods with their hands, whether it be a calf or a totem or some other god. They would create these gods with their hands, but what would happen is they would become inhabited by a spirit. Kind of matches what we see in Revelation when there was this angel who was the highest of the highs and got really a big head and said, I want what you're getting, God. I want the worship that I'm leading for you. I want that. And so he started to try to bring that worship to himself. And what happens? Lucifer is cast down. We know him as Satan. And he had a lot of followers come with him. And then we look at what's taking place in the world. Guys, these gods are active. They are active in society because people have created them as gods. And what has happened is the people create. The creator creates the created, and the created then are creators. They create and allow for the demonic manifestations, the spirits to enter in, and now they're worshiping. Satan's getting his way. I called for worship. You cast me down and I'm being worshiped. That's what was taking place. And so God sees this and he says, hey, you are my people. I brought you out of the land of Egypt. And what happens in Exodus 34? He says this. It says, the Lord descended. This is in verse 5, 34, verse 5. It says, the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name, the Lord. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for the thousandth generation, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, yet by no means clearing the guilty, but visiting the iniquity of the parents upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. And then he says this in verse 10, he said, I hereby make a covenant before all your people. I will perform marvels such as have not been performed in all the earth or in any nation. And all the people among whom you live shall see the work of the Lord, for it is an awesome thing that I will do with you. Do with you. The whole idea is that we are partners with God. God brought the Israelites out of Egypt, not because of the compassion, but they were his people. He brought them out to make a covenant and say, what he says is, I will be your God and you will be my people. This is the covenant we're making. The rules and regulations we see in the Old Testament, what they really have to do with is, here's how you have relationship with me. In a world where people have to appease the gods and it's trial and error and whatever I can do to get that God off my back, the God of the universe steps in and says, no, here's how you be my people. Here's how you be my people. I'm not asking for religion. I'm not asking for you to be religious about this, because when we take it into our own hands and we try to do things over and over again just to be perfect, we fail. But God says, no, this is just how we have relationship. Because what happens is, if you go off and do your own thing, my covering stays right here. And you've now walked outside of my blessing. But time and time again through the Old Testament, we see the oppression of Israel because of their rebellion against God. We see the oppression of Israel take place, and what we see is the compassion of God. It says God has compassion. The Father, Yahweh, has compassion over the nation of Israel as they cry out and say, God, what have we done? Where are we? Why are we here? What's happening to us? And he chases after his people. He rescues them by the word of a prophet, by some great prophet that he has raised up, and he brings them back and says, no, this is my covenant, this is my blessing. Walk with me. We are partners in this. Let's go together. And that leads us to, I said, pay attention to Emperor Augustus, because what happens right before the New Testament starts, right before the birth of Jesus, 27 years prior to Jesus, this emperor is raised up. So the Israelites have lived through oppression. They've lived through exile to Babylon, who is then taken over by Persia, then Greece, then Rome. Like, they lived through all of this, foreigners in a land, in lands, and God sees them. And Augustus, Emperor Caesar Augustus, who he is the first emperor of Rome. And what was believed, Rome was still a pagan nation, but what was believed is now Augustus, the emperor, and any emperor to follow, was a god. He was a deity. He had gained so far in his wisdom, that now he was a deity to be worshiped. So he had leaders underneath him, but he was the head guy, and he was to be worshiped, so much so that Rome actually built temples all over the place for people to come and worship the emperor. Talk about chaos. If you think about a world where the devil and demons are worshipped in disguise, that's Rome. And the emperor himself claimed to be the lead, the head of this. And then he orders for all men to be registered, for all men to go back to their hometowns. In Luke chapter 2, this is where I want you to go so that we can keep our eyes on you. We can know where you're at. We can know where you've been, where you're gonna go. This is what I want. And this is what Jesus is born into. This is what the God of the universe comes down into. Now, mind you, he's been rejected for centuries. Yahweh has been rejected for centuries by his own people. He has been turned away because they have not seen him. They only see his power, but they have not seen him particularly. They want a king. They want a prophet. They want someone physical to lead them. They want to see something taking place in front of their eyes, so much so that they would rather return to the pagans, to the way of the pagan, than to allow Yahweh to be their leader. And so they have chosen this way of destruction that has led them into exile, into Rome. And God said, this is going to be the final thing. This is going to be it. So he sent his son. He sent his son. God says, listen, we have a covenant. And I want you to live in this covenant. And that covenant that he made with Moses and the Israelites, it wasn't the original covenant that was made with Abraham. That was made with Abraham, but now God has made a covenant with his people, and now he's sending his son. And what John then says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. The Word was God. Jesus is God incarnate. He says, it's not enough that I'm here. I'm going to make myself one of you to come and live among you. And then John says this, catch this. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into existence being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. Then he says, further down, he says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Guys, what we celebrate at Christmas time, the manger, we look at a messy manger as our theme for the month. The manger was messy. Jesus' birth, his coming to earth, was messy. There wasn't one piece that was, hey, this is a calming thing. He ushered in peace. But if you can imagine the city of Bethlehem when Joseph and Mary came to that little town, the people of Bethlehem had scattered all over the place. It was the city of David. This was David's city. They had scattered all over the land, but now they've been summoned to come together, and we have a picture of there was no room for a pregnant woman giving birth in an inn, let alone a house. Nobody was willing to take her in, to take them in. And this is what Jesus was born into. The messy manger was, rather than people appeasing an unknown God, it was the God of the universe pursuing us. The God of the universe was not willing to give up on humanity that had turned their backs on him for so long. He said, I've had enough. I'm coming to you. I don't care about the chaos of the world. I don't care about what's happening around you. I understand that it's a painful place, but I'm coming to you because this is the only way this is going to work. And then the choice is on you. And he flip turns the world upside down. He unlearns the learned people and teaches a new way. This morning, if you're person number one that I explained earlier, if you're here this morning or you're online and you've never You're not, this isn't a typical thing for you. Church is a rare occasion. Maybe this is your first time, or doesn't even have to be church, but you've rejected God so many times in your life, or maybe you've never had that opportunity. This morning, I believe, is your morning. I believe the same God that we are talking about, the same God that throughout the entirety of Scripture has laid out a plan for us, or laid out a story, the origin story of the manger. He's calling it to be your origin story. Today, you can partner with that God and say, God, I'm done doing this life alone, and I want to begin a relationship with you. So if that's you this morning, the Bible tells us in Romans 10:9 that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, all it takes is confession and belief. It takes that faith and that confession. We raise our handle of, yes, I'm making that decision, but all it takes is a heart change, a recognition in our hearts to say, Jesus is Lord and I'm following him the rest of my life. If that's you this morning, and you'd like to make that decision, I'm going to give you an opportunity. But I just want to invite you to right now begin to just talk to Jesus. He's here. He's present. If you're person number two and it's just been a difficult season, you're having a hard time. I love, so Rachel texted me last week and was like, hey, you're speaking next Sunday. Do you have any songs in mind that you'd like us to do? And as a really great friend, I forgot to text her back. I do it all the time. I forgot to text her back, but what is amazing is I already had this piece on my notes. But this morning, if you're person number two, I believe that the response for you this morning is just to breathe in the truth of Jesus. To breathe in the truth of who God is. We sang this morning, I breathe you in, God, because you are there all around me. God is here. He's in your pain. He's in your suffering. And I believe that your response this morning is, Jesus, I need to breathe you in. I need to be reminded of my origin. I need to be reminded of who you are. I just need to experience your love this morning. Matthew 11:28 says this. These are Jesus' words. He says, come to me, all of you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is calling you this morning saying, I'm here with you. If you're at home and you're sitting, I'm just going to encourage you. Turn on, you can hear the music, but even after we end this morning, spend some time just resting in God's presence. Person number three, my challenge to you, you're the one who, man, you're on fire for God. You're on fire. You're seeking Jesus. My challenge to you is continue to seek humbly, recognizing that we are not done until we're done. I didn't ask her permission to share this morning, but I meant to. But Megan went to a Bible study back earlier this year. She had gone to this Bible study at a church that we've been attending in Roseburg. And she came home, and I might get this a little bit botched, like the very fine details, but the principle is going to remain the same. But she came home one night, and she said it was really sweet. They were talking about emotional bondage, and she said this older lady in her 80s, I don't know. She said, but this lady that had been in the church for a long time gets up to just share and says, you know, I've been doing this a long time. And what this has reminded me is that there is still stuff I don't know. There is still stuff God wants to reveal to me. And for whether that's the position you're in, or you're just here and you've grown up in the church and you've been here a long time, I can tell you right now, we have things to unlearn. And we're only going to learn the truth in God's word, not by the things we hear on social media, and sometimes not even by the things that we hear preached from the pulpit online. Like, many of us are sharing content online that is getting people likes and agrees with what we feel inside. But when you go to the scriptures with it, it's like light and dark. It doesn't match. I love our pastor because that's not the case. But we have to take into our own, as our own responsibility, God, what does your word tell me about this situation? What does your word tell me about this thought, this idea, this thing that is taking place in our world today? What does your word tell me about it? Because I can tell you right now, if what's in your mind is not love, it's not there. Because what we have seen in scripture, even this morning, but what we see when we look in scripture is a God that even in his wrath is showing wrath out of love to bring a nation that has left his covenant relationship back into alignment under his blessing and protection. And if that's not our heart, if our heart is not to bring our world into the protection of God and into the blessing of God or those around us, we don't have to worry about our world, because as we influence the ones around us, our loved ones around us, and it trickles around, we bring a shift in the atmosphere around us. God bringing us back under his covenant and his blessing. That's what the manger is. So this morning, what we're going to do, the worship team's going to sing a song. And if you are person number two or three or whichever person you are this morning and you just want some time, we're opening up the altars. No one's going to pray for you. No one's going to come up. This is just time for you and Jesus. But if you this morning are like, man, I just need to breathe in God's grace. I need to spend some time reflecting on the goodness of God rather than the wrath of God or what I might feel like I deserve. We're going to open this up. If no one wants to come up, that's totally fine. If you're at home, I'm just going to tell you, find a place where it's just you and God. If it's in your pew here, that's great. But I'm going to challenge you during this song, spend some time breathing in the goodness of God. But if you're that person number one in this morning, I'm gonna ask if you can, every eye in here closed, you can bow your heads, you can keep them up, whatever. But if this morning you're here and you're like, this is my moment, this is God has me here for a reason. Maybe you're online and you're watching, but you say, I've never given my heart to Jesus. I've never surrendered to him. What all that means is that I've never admitted my need for him and chosen to give him the control of my life. If that's you this morning, I'm just going to ask you to slip your hand up right now. If you're in this place, if you're online, if you can either type it in the chat or you can hit the connect button. Even if you've connected or you're not new with us, hit the connect button and put it in the comments. Hey, I gave my life to Jesus this morning. And I want someone to know because I want someone to walk with me. We're not alone in this. So if that's you this morning and you're here, just one last opportunity. If you just slip up your hand so I can see you, so I know who I'm praying with. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to do anything, but just pray this morning. Awesome. I got you. Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you this morning for who you are. God, we thank you for your blessing. God, and we ask this morning that you would meet us right here. God, if there's anything that has been brought up, that has surfaced from our hearts this morning, God, we ask that you would, that your grace, in your grace and your mercy, God, that you would deal with those things right now. God, I pray for this person who's raised their hand, God, that says that they want to start a relationship with you. God, your word tells us if we confess with our mouth, if we just say, yeah, that's me, I'm making a decision to follow Jesus, and we put our heart, our belief in you, God, that we have a new life, that we are saved. So God, this morning, we are celebrating with this individual. God, and if there's any online this morning that have made that decision, God, we ask that you would begin to work in their hearts and to show them who you are, God, as they dig in and they read your word, they read your story. God, that their hearts would begin to soften to you and to be transformed. In Jesus' name, amen.